Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello.
Wait, you're not Adam Wilborn.
I'm not Adam Wilborn. I'm very not Adam Wilborn,
How
sir.
How dare you sit where he sits?
I don't. It's big. It's a big seat to fill. You should see me. I look like a toddler sitting on a throne at the moment. But hello, everybody. It's Wrestle Culture. I know these things usually start with a song, but I will not be peer pressured into doing one. I know a man who will be peer pressured into doing a song for, and that's Phil Chambers. Go.
No.
Okay. Very well then. Welcome to this. You know what this is. You can pod. I don't know where'd you get it. Like Spotify.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
You wherever you get your podcast from, Spotify.
Yep, that's where you can get my podcast.
The chip shop.
Podbay.
Waterstones. WH Smith. All those places. You know the drill, baby. I'm not going to regurgitate the spiel. Napster. If Metallica have their way, maybe not. Well, we can't endorse LimeWire on here, Phil. Come on. Joining me, Andy Murray, today, we have this ragtag bunch of rogues, I think it's fair to say. I've not been on this thing in months. And Scott Tailford from the gaming team. You've never been on this one, I don't think.
I don't think I've been on the Friday one. Me and Hamford did a one a while ago where I forget who I was sitting in for. We talked about AEW. We talked about Rampage for a little bit. Yeah. And I watch AEW all the time, so I'm dying to tell any other humans about my thoughts on AEW. I know that's not necessarily what this is, but that's why I'm here. You were like, get someone who knows little bits and pieces about wrestling. I was I'm here.
Well, so let's talk about WWE.
Yeah. Of course, Phil Chambers. He's here as well.
Yeah,
as you've heard for like 5 minutes. But yes, we figured we'd do something a bit different today, my very good friends, because everyone's gone home. So we figured with Scott in the office, I guess, who could loosely be defined as the casual fan in terms of just like watching one company. Really.
Yeah, I'm like 1,000,000% AEW. It's staggering how little I know about WWE.
Quite recently been brought back into the fold as well.
I was one of those guys who, like, when they cast the big CM Punk net I was trawled up out of the ocean and dragged on land again. Because, I've been watching since Punk came back last year for AEW, and then bits and pieces of WWE, but very, very little, really.
So I thought it would be fun to get your kind of perspective on this week's big event, which is the Rumble. And we thought also, like, it's been a really rough couple of news weeks, hasn't it? So let's just have some fun and talk some crap and sit here for an hour and see where the conversation takes us.
And have a bloody good quiz later on.
Of course. How could I forget?
I can't wait to do well in that quiz.
Yeah.
Just wait for it.
You're going to kill it, man. You're going to win. I'm very uncompetitive, so, like, you will win.
It's fine. How do you spell AEW, I'm flying. If it's anything else, I'm probably...
How do you spell WWE?
I'm probably screwed.
Well, we're here, and we should mention the Royal Rumble. We do have a full preview podcast going out this weekend, so that'll cover your official preview bases. This is Wrestle Culture, baby. This is a piss.
Yeah, if you want actual wrestling analysis, there's plenty more of this on this podcast. Yeah. This ain't what that is gonna be.
You need to know what you're buying into, don't you? Like, you don't come here expecting, actually, I think this is going to be a 5-star match.
Yeah. But Ian Danielson, is that you?
There you go.
Killing time on a Friday when we can't be bothered doing anything.
Exactly. That might be the level that I can bring to this podcast. Yeah.
It's the countdown to going to the pub, usually. So, Scott Tailford, as someone who watches Raw, SmackDown religiously, NXT, I hear you even watch NXT Level Up, main event, every single week.
Tough enough? Every week, mate.
Tough enough. You know, the wrestling classic.
Hey, don't diss Tough Enough.
I was really like that.
Yeah. So you dedicate your life to watching these shows. Yeah. I want to know, and the listeners want to know, straight away, who's winning the Royal Rumble?
Well, if it's not going to be Lampy Brian Man, Brandon, the guy with the lamp man.
The lamp man.
If it's not the lamp man, it's probably the guy, Cody. I'm going to go with Cody. My actual pick.
Oh, the AEW guy.
The thing is, like, legitimately, I have the WWE 2K22 game from last year because I just want to play as AEW people. I've not done a single WWE... I'm not in a single WWE match on it. It's just because that game's like creation suite is incredible. So I just got that game and downloaded the entire AEW roster.
Hell yeah.
And so it's a really, really good AEW game. So I know very little about... I couldn't even tell you WWE
2K22, the best AEW game out there.
It literally is. Like, the other day I realised that Buddy Matthews is on there. He's just called Murphy. And I was like, oh, that must be... He must have been in there. And there's loads of people in AEW. I mean, you guys know this. Yeah, but like loads of people who are on that roster. But yeah, so as someone who is an ardent fan... I'll say the guy whose name I can't remember.
Brandon.
I actually can't think of his actual name. Something Wyatt. it's him. Or it'll be cheeky little Cody.
Yeah, cheeky Cody. Well, he is rumored to be coming back this weekend. They have spent the past 6 or so weeks doing these vignettes where he's fighting his way back. He's been very Cody. He's been very dramatic, very emotional. That's the man we know. That's the man we love. I love this. Well, Brandon the Lamp Man. That's fantastic. We generally refer to him in the office as the effing fiend.
Yes, you do. I've seen that. I've seen the mask and everything. That's why I was annoyed I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah, the fiend was a special leader, let me tell you.
I missed that era.
Continues to be a special leader.
Reminds me, who's that fella that ate all the worms? Boogeyman.
Yeah.
I remember him.
He's coming to get you.
He's coming to get you.
So, I mean, it's fun. Like, I think the interesting thing about the Royal Rumble is it's often an event that even when people fall off from wrestling, sometimes they might tune in for that and WrestleMania. What are your kind of general experiences with the Rumble as someone who's fell off of wrestling for so long?
Rumble was always my favorite. Like, that was always the thing. I mean, the thing is, like, all of my references, I said this on the one that I was on when I did it with Hamflet, I only apologize for people under the age of 20 or whatever, because my references are so old. But my references for the Rumble are going to be Austin knocking Kane out, that one.
Hell yeah.
And to be fair, a more recent one, we talked about this before we were recording, is the one where Brock Lesnar eliminated, like, everyone. And that was a couple of years ago. So I checked that out because you guys were talking about it. But yeah, I think the randomization side of it is always awesome. Like, and you never know what's going to happen. I always love to make a game reference, What Culture Gaming, go subscribe, is that whole thing of like what's going to be at the award shows or what's going to be at E3. You never know what's going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's always on the night. It's like, well, anything could happen. It's like, well, Steve Austin could run in or whatever. Like, anything could happen. I always like that anything can happen energy, and it always dissipates and it's always disappointing. But I love it in the moment. I always love it. So yeah, the Rumble is always something that makes me go like, maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
And I know that over in AEW, Brian Cage's contract is like almost up or something, just to throw something
in.
So maybe. But I mean, it's probably not, because I don't think it's up just yet. But maybe that'll be a thing.
Yeah, show up with his Ring of Honor Trios title.
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a thing. Phil, you like the Royal Rumble enough to sit up to 4 a.m. and watch it in our office.
It is my favourite pay-per-view of the year. Way better than WrestleMania. It's just the sort of the promise and the potential of the Royal Rumble, like you say. It's just always absolutely incredible. Yeah. So I will be live streaming it along with Adam Wilbourn, who is obviously not here right now, but we'll be here on Saturday. So join us at midnight UK time, or...
Seven
on Eastern time. We'll be there for the pre-show, although I think the pre-show might be 2 hours, so we're only doing an hour of the pre-show. We'll be there for the pre-show and the whole show, so come join us on What Culture Wrestling on YouTube.
Yes. Do you guys think that in terms of like celebrity stuff, like that was always a thing? I mean, my reference is the Honky Tonk Man, but still.
2001, baby.
Yeah, one of the best ones. Like, what do you think in terms of like, will they do big celebrity spots? Will they get people in? Will they get other sort of random sports people in? Is that something that WWE tends to do? And we'll steer into.
They do seem to be loving that recently. Like, we've had Bad Bunny in the Rumble. We had Johnny Knoxville last year.
Right, yeah. I saw, because that was to promote Jackass.
Yeah, obviously, they've done a lot with Logan Paul last year, so there's the potential of bringing him back in for it, but there's got to be.
Get CoffeeZilla in there. That's a reference for like three people, but get CoffeeZilla in the Rumble. There you go.
I mean, Logan Paul is a big rumor this year because he injured himself wrestling Roman Reigns last year, and he's recovered way ahead of schedule because he's a freak. He's got that John Cena in him. He's been rumored for like big WrestleMania matches and stuff, and he's been really good. So
is John Cena winning the Rumble because he's on the cover of the game? Is that what they do?
They need to promote the game.
Well,
he can win it
because it's like, just the thing they do?
Imagine if he was the one to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, 2-year title reign.
Maybe it's time.
If he wins with the lightning fist, I would be A-okay with this.
That'll be super fun. But like we say, we're going to have a proper... bring back the lightning fist, man. You only did that once. Frick.
It's beautiful.
You know what that is?
By Jackie Chan.
Oh, man. So what John Cena... This is lore.
Genuinely
this is
incredible. Incredible.
John Cena, throughout his entire career, has been christened one of these five moves of doom wrestlers. And right. He doesn't do many moves. I often think that that's a really stupid criticism of pro wrestlers because there's more to wrestling than just doing fancy moves. Mm-hmm. But he kind of took this on the chin. I think it was one of the Saudi shows, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, one of these interesting shows they do with the Saudi Arabian government where he was like, I'm debuting the six-move doom. Six okay. moves, boys.
I'm hyping it up beforehand.
Yeah.
Right,
he's
right.
come up with this incredible move.
Okay.
And it was a tag team match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly
but he'd been
what
out,
it was.
He'd been living in China for like 6 months or something
right.
beforehand.
Right.
And he'd been like training with like Jackie Chan and things and doing like martial
That's
arts
cool.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like legitimately like,
yeah.
just having a whale of a time in, uh-huh. off in Asia. And so like with that and then bringing in the six move of doom, like he was proper hyping it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then
basically, I'm going to act it out so Scott can see yeah. it, but obviously it's podcast. And I assume everyone else knows what the lightning fist was. He basically stood up in the middle of the ring. His face went really, really angry. He crossed his arms.
Yep.
And then he went, punch. with a tiny little left fist. And that was the lightning punch.
So he has to purposefully face like 90 degrees away from someone. Yeah, yeah. And there's the whole thing that they don't know it's coming.
Yeah.
And it could be
and
either side,
just
I guess.
Tiny yeah. little pathetic left.
Okay.
And
yeah.
that was the lightning punch.
Like a dummy. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Six
genuinely incredible.
Only done once. Will we ever see it again? I don't
if
know.
If he does that and Reigns flies back over the ring, maybe I'm back in. Maybe I'm back in.
Eliminates the guy with the rumble fist. The rumble fist? What am I talking about?
That's if it needs to be rechristened, maybe now it's the rumble fist.
Maybe so, that's why there's lightning on the poster, eh?
Oh,
foreshadowing.
People thought it was The Rock. People also thought that the cow on the poster was, no, boys, girls, non-binary pals, that was... Because it's in Texas. Like they have cows. Steeds.
Who's the current most outlandish rumor doing the rounds that like people won't let go of that might be there? Is it The Rock?
The Rock?
The Rock has definitely been
Steve
rumored
Austin.
For a while. Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the two.
Okay.
The
two. I don't know if there's anything overly
Not too
outlandish
crazy, really.
Nah, like there's some funny ones. Some of them are like funny to us. So like Nia Jax, she's like, you'll have missed her entire career, but she was... she's a cousin of The Rock, or like a third cousin or something,
mm-hmm.
who had a run in WWE for about 5 years and was not good and injured a lot of people.
Right, okay.
So she's kind of a meme as well because she actually did a lot of really funny things as
yeah.
well. Like there was one episode of Raw a couple of years ago where for no reason whatsoever, she got bundled out of the ring and just started hopping around and screaming, "My hole! My hole!"
Okay.
And that became, I think we got a 200K news video out of it,
yeah.
so it was really good. But she's...
Just needed a hand with a hole?
Yeah, just someone needed to help her out. But she got fired by the previous regime in WWE about a year and a half ago, and now she's apparently on the verge. So, like,
okay.
there's meme stuff like that.
She had
that.
A great Royal Rumble moment where she squared off with Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Of John Moxley fame,
yes.
obviously.
Yeah.
In the men's Rumble.
Yeah.
okay.
Which was genuinely hilarious.
She beat up our troop as well,
she did
didn't
beat
she?
Up our troop.
And then she went in and ate an RKO.
I was trying to think of like, because if you got the whole thing last year, Johnny Knoxville comes out and most of the Jackass guys were there
yeah.
to promote
yeah.
Jackass. I was like, what movie is coming out this year that you could cross over with?
In.
That That's would get little Timothy Thingy from Dune in.
Timothy Chalamet.
Get the Timmy Chalas in there, running in with his little coat on.
What's the actress with the one name that's popping off that's also in Dune? Zendaya.
Oh, Zendaya.
Yeah, get her.
Oh
in.
My god.
Why not?
If you proper kayfabe it so Zendaya could just knock someone the F out.
Brock
Lesnar. That'll be genuine. Yeah, oh my god.
Pop him on the chin. Off you go, son.
That'd be great. I can't think of that many movies.
What about the worm?
This year.
The worm from Dune. Get that boy in.
He just flops back in.
He's a big unit, him, isn't he?
Yeah. That's about as much as I can think. I can't think what else has come out the rest of this year, but one of the Avatar boys? I don't know.
Playing with Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler
in the Rumble. Aye.
I'll take that.
Aye, sound. Well, that's the Rumble.
Cheers.
Comprehensive preview will be dropping on this podcast channel tomorrow. We also have a bunch of stuff on YouTube, man. Phil and Wilborn did the video, the predictions video, which you need to watch because it's going to tie in with our stream in
yeah.
secret ways.
Actually, I should ask both of you guys, like, where are you guys at on Royal Rumbles at this stage? Like, having done so many of them at this point, does it have anywhere near the same luster it had, like, I don't know, like a decade or so ago? Like, are you psyched or do you feel like you know too much about who's actually going to be there?
The Rumble for me is literally like the one thing that no matter how like bad wrestling is at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
you I can still get excited for
that's
the Rumble.
Cool. That's cool.
It's like you can reset everything at the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. and it's like it can be a time for change. I mean, last year's Royal Rumble was the absolute pits.
Yeah. Wasn't last year when Molly Holly came back?
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember thinking of you and that, and I was like, Phil's going to be bouncing off the walls right now. Yeah.
But she got attacked by Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
So, God damn you, Nikki Cross. I will never forgive her. So last year was a bit of a downer, but like even then, like going into it, it's still excited. It's still the one, the one thing. Yeah. It can always get me hyped, always.
I'm the exact same every year. You know, people often say that there's no such thing as bad pizza. They are completely wrong. There is 100. Go to Bella Italia. You will learn.
Shots fired.
There is no such thing as a bad Royal Rumble, because even last year, which was really bad, was still kind of
a Shane McMahon outpunching an MMA star in Matt Riddle.
Exactly. And then failing to go over the top rope when Brock clotheslined him. So you always get something fun.
Right.
Even if it's like an individual moment, like, oh, what's Bad Bunny doing here?
Right.
Oh, okay. That's
Ivory
awesome.
Popping up last year was eight.
Yeah. Like, there's always something, so like I look forward to it every year, mm-hmm. and I think there's, for me, right, there's no really like good Royal Rumbles. There's great, and then there's crap, but also great.
I think so, the sheer like look of the draw side of it means you're always gonna have some fun, like unless there's a string of just boring people, but there's no way that it would be.
Oh yeah, 100%. And this year they've only announced like 7 people for the women's match, so there's going to be a lot of surprises. Oh,
that's cool.
So, okay. Yeah, might be worth tuning in, brother. Also on that match, Lamp Man, he's there.
Brandon, is he coming back? Is
Brandon.
He's
Brandon Lamp. Does have a match.
Brandon Lampman.
It's called Adam.
Do you know anything about this match?
Oh, boy.
No.
Right.
I don't know what you're referring to.
It's called, what's it called? The Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Yeah.
That's what Brandon's doing.
Basically. That is what Brandon Lamp is doing.
Right, what Lamp is doing,
So it is obviously sponsored by Mountain Dew. Uh-huh. But we have absolutely no idea what the match is going to be. All we know is it's kind of like a no DQ, anything goes kind of thing.
Well, we call it Mountain Dew, and then
Mountain Dew Pitch Black.
It's like a new flavor of
Mountain
Dew.
Just the lights go off?
It's the equivalent of calling.
There's supposedly going to be neon involved.
Yes. Okay.
Whatever that means.
Right. They can make it like that. You know when Taker used to do that, when the blue lights would come on and it sort of all the colours kind of inverted, you could kind of do it like that.
I kind of wanted like kicking it major old school, but you'll probably remember this. WCW Nitro, when they did the Spring Break, was it Spring Break episode? Where they put the ring in the middle of a swimming pool.
Yes.
That, but the swimming pool was filled with Mountain Dew.
They used to do that. And then everyone was so far away from the ring. It was such a weird
visual. Awful. And then you just get the cruiserweights doing nuts things into the pool.
Like when they did the AEW show on the boat and MJF got thrown in the pool.
Yeah. Like, what was the thing? Because like me coming into AEW last year, there's been so many things that I caught up on. And Sidgwick and Hamlet have given me lists of stuff to go back to. All you guys have like mentioned things, and I've gone back. There was that Orange Cassidy Jericho match with the big pools of orange soda or whatever. I was just like, I've never fully got the context.
The Mimosa
of
Mayhem, the,
Mimosa match.
So the goal was like to throw the opponent in a pool of mimosa.
Yes.
Because I think the idea was that Orange Cassidy is obviously orange.
Yes.
So is a mimosa.
Yeah.
And Chris Jericho
and
likes
champagne
boots.
And things.
That's
so,
it.
Okay.
That's the bomb. So
it should have powered them both up.
Yeah, you
like anime rules, they should have come out with that stronger than ever.
Chris Jericho got dunked in it and ended up looking like a soggy doggy when he came out. It was sometimes Chris Jericho does a little bit too much. I think that was I would skip that one.
I'm just thinking I need to put that into the lore of AEW. Yeah.
In the pantheon of liquid based matches, like in terms of what they're pulling from. Maybe.
So we're gonna have some liquid based fun at the Royal Rumble, I think. What?
4 a.m.,
I'll have some liquid-based fun on the stream.
Hey, there you go. We're kicking it off. It's on the channel. Check it out. We've got some... Can we say what we've got for...
Prizes!
Ooh. Yeah, we got some spooky prizes. So check those out. Those will be fun. Right.
What else have we got, Mr. Host?
I didn't make a list. No, I did. That's untrue. I did make a list. We'll talk about AEW for a little bit.
I think
that's fair. It's Scott's interest.
That's all I've got, mate. I can't give anything else.
It's been a... interesting couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, the passing of Jay Briscoe has put it's a really horrible situation, and we had the tributes and stuff this week, but we're not, you know, not to we've spoken about that a fair bit, and obviously if you're in a position to help, there are various fundraisers available. We have links on the website to the Pugh family, Jay's family, but also Lily Turnahan, who sadly passed away in the accident as well, her family. There's a fundraiser there, and you can also buy a t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. The video, the celebration of life, is up on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel now, so it really sad across the board, and we wish them all the best. AEW, I think did a really classy job this week with what they did to honor Jay and letting Mark wrestle on TV this week. Mm-hmm. And I think that even if you're not like a Ring of Honor dork like I am for years, you could have tuned in and appreciated what that man was.
That was entirely me. Yeah. Like I didn't. Yeah. I only came into knowing who the Briscoes were based off that series of FTR matches, which are all utterly phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Jay always stood out amongst like the two of them anyway. Not to knock Mark whatsoever, but like it was just that immediate thing. Mainly because I'm a big metalhead, and Jay reminded me of Randy Blythe.
So oh wow, like, that's a great
like
show.
A Lamb of God. Like he could have easily just been a metal singer. So I was immediately like, these guys are so cool. And then just got in that way. But I don't have much of a history with Ring of Honor. And so that show that they just did this week was extremely well handled. And me and my wife were tearing up watching the montage and everything. Yeah, beautifully done.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's AEW has they do a classy job with these things. They do a dignified job with these things. And I'm glad that Mark was able to have that opportunity to do that on television and honor his brother. And we'll reiterate, this is a human story. At the core of it, I think that petty wrestling arguments, how silly some of the things we talk about in wrestling online and everywhere else, how really dumb those and meaningless those things are, come to light in weeks like this. But AEW did a good job. And in general, it's been a really good period, I think, for Dynamite in particular. I'm actually really curious to get your thoughts on this, Scott, because you've come at this from a completely different angle to us who've been in the weeds in wrestling for like 30 plus years. Tony Khan tweeted during the week, he feels that this is like the strongest period of Dynamite. Everything's firing, everything's cooking.
Right.
How are you feeling about the show at the moment? How are you enjoying Dynamite?
For me, they tease so much and they don't always deliver. And I mean, in terms of like the roster itself, like you bring Adam Cole back a couple of weeks ago and I like jumped off the chair. I didn't know he was coming back. I try and follow stuff like behind the scenes or whatever, but I didn't know he was ready to come back. And I just remember the way that they did it. I know you guys have already talked about this loads, but the way that they did it with the Hangman Mox match. And it's like they had the whole kayfabe knockout thing, and then me and my wife were just saying like, oh yeah, because like obviously Adam Cole, and I hope that if they're going to do a whole concussion storyline, that like it has to be kayfabe because it's real with Adam Cole. And then he was the next surprise thing, and then when he was like, oh actually I'm cool to come back and I'm challenged in the locker room, and then he wasn't there last week, and then this week it was like actually the montage is that he's not cleared to come. Well, he's still waiting and he's not back yet. Like for me, it's like there's an upper echelon of like the absolute best people that I'm there to watch AEW for. And when I came back, it was because of Punk, and then it was that. I was like almost spoiled because I had that massive run of Punk MJF, and I was like, this is incredible. It's so rich and deep and philosophical, and there's all these different like angles from both of their sides, the veteran versus the new guy and whatever. There's all these different things you can pick apart. And then for me, nothing's ever really come close to that. And so when you have this like upper echelon of people that maybe could write something or be involved in something that is that strong, and MJF's there, but we just hear from him. He doesn't really do much. Yeah. Like for me, that like I love Adam Cole, I love Kenny, like whatever the Bucks, MJF, like Kingston. And for me, like, the top guys are not really in anything.
Sure.
Like, for me, like, and that's just, I'm just being, like for me, there's way more you could do with those top people. So, like, it's not that the matches aren't incredible, but I, as much as I think Action Andretti's, like, really solid, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I care. I mean, I can care. It's not that I don't care at all. But, like, I'd love Kingston to be, like, having a sparring verbal one-off with MJF or do something with your top people. And it always feels like he's not using them. So there's probably a reality to that. But for me, it misses the mark for that.
Yeah. No, I think it's good to get multiple perspectives. I mean, like, with so many of the people that we talk to about wrestling are in the same boat as us. And, like, we're nerds and dorks, and this is what we do for a living and all that stuff. And so I think it's always cool to get that kind of conversation going.
I think it's hard because, like I said, for me, whenever I've talked about like the last sort of like couple of years of AEW, and I've gone back to certain matches and stuff, there is that idea that like the MJF Punk thing was a one-off, and that can't be used as a measuring stick for like the average expectation of a storyline in wrestling. Like it just can't be. So I need to just divorce myself from that, because like you're rarely going to get that level of storytelling where like two people are just really like turned onto it kind of thing.
I think that's one of the best feuds I've ever seen.
Me too. And I think it's a valid point as well, like, because like outside of probably like MJF Bryan, like not a lot like feels like hot or like with a lot of focus on it.
Yeah,
like, that's getting proper week to week focus. Yeah. Other things have like you'll have a week of it and then you'll have a week off and then the week back on kind of thing or things like that.
The Danielson thing as well, it's like he was like, oh, we're gonna like pad it out kind of thing, because like you got a series of matches, one a week, and then it's like, okay, well, we're building to the title run. I don't really see him losing, because why would he? Like, and so like to me, like I love matches where you don't know who's gonna win. I remember talking to you about this once when I got into wrestling, and I was like, it's just the whole thing is how can they make you believe kind of thing. But when Mox fought Hangman, I had no idea who was gonna win, and that's way more enticing and engaging and like way more exciting to watch. So like when it's just Danielson Danielson versus someone we know he's going to win, quote unquote, that's just not as fun. Mm. And I think Khan's got better with that recently, because like most of last year, it was a lot of bouts that you knew who was going to win. And like that's why I loved when Andretti beat Jericho, because yes. Like, oh, this changes everything. And
we had
like,
the boxing top fight last week.
Yeah, which is huge. Yeah. Like I love that, and I don't know the inner workings of people's like win loss ratios and stuff. I don't know how much that really matters or whatever. But I love when there's upsets, quote unquote, like that, because that changes the game kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Like for me, that's way more exciting.
Definitely something they could do a lot more of, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it ties into, I mean, the wider issue that we always talk about with AEW is just the size of the roster and how many people they've got.
Yeah.
But like, there's a way of cycling these people in and out and doing that properly. So like, you were saying, not all your top guys are in a storyline. Like, they don't always need to be at a top-level storyline, but they also need a reason to not be in the top-level storyline. So they stay at that level. So if you have someone come in and do, like, a nine-month run, do a bunch of different feuds with someone else, and then disappear for 3 months, but that's, like, written into the story, and is it, like, an actual thing? Like, there's a way of building in kind of almost an off-season for each person, so long as they're tiered and not everyone's off at the same time.
It's a weird thing, because like I think of it like they're all backstage. I mean, like in kayfabe, I think of it as like almost like a port, like a magic portal. They're all backstage. Yeah. Anyone could appear at any time. They're all there. Like in this reality, they're all kind of there. So it's just like, for me, I'm so glad Hayter's wrestling on Rampage this week, because I want to see way more of her. I hate that she got the belt and then she's still in the shadow of Britt. I know that that's going to eventually become something.
Yeah,
but for me, it's always like, if he's saying like, oh, it's one of the best few weeks that they've had, for me, there's not like an overarching sense of purpose. Like, you got Kenny in the box back, but then Kenny's immediately not there for the next 2 weeks.
He's got visa problems.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so this is something that's come out today, actually. Ah. Like, literally just a few hours ago.
Right, okay.
Which is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. It is a thing that's out of their control, but they also should know about these things going forward. Yeah.
Figure it out in advance.
Yeah. And it's also like, what's happening with the trios belts? Like, that was just, it's just kind of there. Yeah. Like, it was a big thing, then it's not. It's someone like Powerhouse Hobbs as well, who I initially wasn't that bothered about, but I really think is awesome now.
He's back this Friday, baby. Yeah.
But it's all like the Book of Hobbs, and I'm like, what is that, mate? Like, what are you talking about?
He's got a literal book.
He's got an actual book.
He's going to squash a gentleman on Rampage tonight. A gentleman by the name, do you want to know his name? This guy's name?
Yes.
I swear I haven't made this up.
Okay.
Tony Mudd.
Good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, Mr. Mudd.
Brandon Lamp and Tony Mudd.
Surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble. What a tag team.
Yeah, I think for me, like, it sucks, because I do enjoy, I love watching it. I think the matches are incredible. Yeah. It's just that I always want that backbone of story, that backbone of, like, why are they fighting?
Yeah, why are you here?
Yeah. And it's just like, I always think there's more they could do with that stuff.
Yeah, I think these are very fair criticisms. It is a huge roster. People do often go missing for a while. At a time, Miro, where is that man?
Is he?
What's going on? I'm sure there's probably something that we're not privy to, but seems a bit weird. It does happen. I think Eddie Kingston, for me, is probably the most egregious example. Why has that man's creative been so bad for the past year?
And what was that thing like on Dynamite with was it on just on Dynamite, maybe the last Rampage, where he like had kind of fought with Ortiz a bit and got the chair?
It's all very straight. The only thing I can possibly think of that would make that, like, get me back into that would be if Santana and Ortiz had mended their backstage issues because they fell out. Mm-hmm. And that's a complex personal situation. But if they were back on the same page, and this was leading to Santana returning from injury and going, get your act together, boys, and then them fight in the House of Black, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wade through crap to get there, is the thing. So, like, I'm pretty patient generally. Like, if I don't like something on a show, even though I review it most weeks, I'll usually just go, okay, sure, whatever. Yeah. But I think that these are all valid criticism.
I think for me, it's like, I'm going to, like, I love the performance side of it. I love the athletic side of it. I think I do just gravitate more towards, like, narrative and, like, and that kind of stuff. Like, I love, Hangman's, like, one of my favorites. So I like the depth of his character.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like why he's fighting and he's searching for purpose. And I think that there's a lot to him. And it's like, in Kingston as well, like, having read that big article he did, like, last year, like, it really rounds him out. And I'm like, I'm really rooting for you. So it kind of sucks when you're not Tret with that level of depth that I think you have. Yeah. So I tend to gravitate to that. Not that I can't appreciate, obviously, like, a really good match.
Yeah.
But I really want to get behind some of those stories because I came in on the Punk MJF stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's like everything that's going on with the Bloodline in WWE at the minute, like, has got people more interested in WWE than they have been in a really, really, really long time because they're telling a really bloody good story behind it. It's the story that people are connecting with, not the matches that they're having. If these guys were going out just having 5-star matches every week with none of this story, no one would care. Mm-hmm. But because it's got this much, like, in-depth story that people actually care about the characters and their motivations and what's going into it all, Like, that's what people have connected to, the Punk MJF stuff. Yeah. It was the story behind it all that people connected to. Well, it was just great, like, that they had amazing matches to go along with it.
Yeah.
But, like, the story was what actually brought people in.
Well, because for me, it made it a weekly TV show. Yeah. Like, it's, and you, like, and that's a weird thing as well. That's a weird line that they walked, because then you have the expectations of storytelling from a weekly TV show. And, like, for me, like, the Punk MJF stuff kept up with that. There was plenty of twists and turns and payoffs and whatever, and, like, reveals and stuff. And it's just, like, if you're telling, like, a week-to-week TV show, maybe that's my issue with it, because, like, I come to it, like, I was like, punch the microphone. Having a certain expectation with it. And then when it's not necessarily that, and Miro disappears, and like things happen because of injuries. Weird. And like, I mean, I love Jade, but I am sick of her as a champ. I know that's the most tired talking point, but that does stand out as a week to week thing where you just watch Under the Squash, or you just watch the same thing, or whatever.
I mean, she has the problem with the story with the baddies, makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. So you can't connect with that story because it literally makes no sense.
I like
it. It seems to change on a whim on a weekly basis.
And Bow Wow's here and then he's not. Yeah. And what's going on? Yeah,
because I thought they were doing a thing with her where it's like, okay, Statlander was meant to take the belt, assumedly she's injured, so we're just gonna like just drag this out, she'll win some more, whatever. And then it's like, okay, Statlander's really not coming back anytime soon, so I guess like Jade is like absolute power corrupt, and she ends up losing everything, and she loses the belt to like herself or something, like she just gives it up or something.
Yeah,
but I was like, it's, they're doing
herself.
Just crosses her arms,
yeah,
and does the lightning punch and does something. So it's like, yeah, but with stuff like that, it's like I'm still watching it week to week as a like ongoing infinite storyline. Like if I was watching like a really long form anime or something,
yeah.
And then when it for me it falls down in that regard. Yeah. So like, yeah. So that's only me choosing to focus on those parts of it. The matches have been phenomenal. Axel Andre is incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's more they could do with those people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, these are all very, very fair points indeed that have been echoed by many a person. It's nice to get your perspective, for sure. Shall we talk about games for a bit?
Please do.
AEW got one cooking, sort of. Fight Forever.
Fight at some point, maybe.
Fight.
It depends if we can get it together or not.
Fight Forever, asterisk.
Yes, after you've done the dance minigame.
Yeah, we're not really any closer to having a release date, it seems, but... How are you looking forward to this game in general? It seems to be a throwback to the old N64 games, the War Zones, the No Mercies.
Yeah.
As a kind of, as a literal gaming man, how are you feeling about it?
I think it's promising. I think, like, when they started showing more of it, I would love something that was just entirely arcade wrestling. I think that it has been in development for a long time, and they need to just show more of it. I think one of the biggest issues with it is that the roster is just so outdated, and there's just not much they can do about that. But it is interesting, because for the longest time, like the last sort of, like, almost 10 years, WWE side of things hasn't been that strong, and, like, it was just this expectation that the WWE games weren't going to be that great. And then recently, like, as recent as last year's return, because they took a couple of years off, because they really got it wrong.
Yeah.
Last year's one, 2K22, is brilliant.
Whipped ass.
Yeah, it's great. And like has lots of really cool mechanics in there, and like things that'll help you like kick out of a pin even if you're like completely gassed or whatever. There's loads of little cool things in there. So it's harder for them to compete. And if this March's one from WWE is like just as solid, and the creation suite lets you almost make a better AEW game, it's really hard for them to compete.
It's weird timing for them, because if they'd released...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
like just after, was it 2K20?
The terrible one, 2K20.
Like,
yeah,
if they released
yeah.
sometime in between that and 2K2022, they would have been like solid in the money. It almost wouldn't have mattered what they released because it was 100% going to be better than that and people would have gravitated towards it. But now, like, the longer this goes on and the more like anticipation that it's got behind it, and like you say, like the roster changes all the goddamn time. Being anyone that makes any kind of wrestling video game in this day and age must be an absolute nightmare when you see what goes on in the wrestling business.
Well, the amount that's gone back and forward on the roster and the amount of people that have signed, like someone like Soraya or something, like she's not going to be in the game. And it's like, I imagine the devs are just like, oh, for God, can you stop signing every
calm
other...
down, Tony.
Calm down, Anthony.
Anthony.
And then, like, gimmick changes as well and things like that.
And they said, like, the tag stuff's not going to be in there. Like, Dax said that the FTR aren't going to be in there. So it's like... things like that. To your question though, like, I just want an AEW game. Like, I just want that, like, definitely. So I'm curious. I hope it plays well. I like the idea of making a nice, snappy, old school arcade wrestling game because you rarely get them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think the only other one that isn't WWE that is out is like Five Star Wrestling from a few years ago.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
It's meant to be terrible.
Is it related to the all time great British indie promotion, Five Star Wrestling?
It might be. Yeah, it might be. And I've bought the Fire Pro games before because the Fire Pro World, I think, is the one that was sponsored by New Japan or tied in with New Japan, and Kenny was in there, so I got that. But yeah, it's like, it's such furtive ground for like wrestling games in general. So anything is good, but it has been in development for a while. There's all those weird reports about it being delayed and staggered and problems with the dev and everything. So I'm hopeful. I would like to play an official AEW game with Adam Cole in it. That would be nice.
That'd be nice. Be sensational. I mean, I'm a very casual wrestling gamer. I'm probably... The wrestling
game. My favorite wrestling game is Guacamelee. So,
oh, there you go.
Hell yeah, it is. What a beautiful
thing. Is Guacamelee 2 not coming out soon?
I read that
for a while.
I think.
I'm an idiot.
You can play it in co-op. I think Guacamelee 2.
Yeah,
sensational.
Drinkbox is such a good dev.
Might pop that on at the weekend. But I'm a super casual. I think the last game I probably bought would have been like 2K16 or something like that. And I've always enjoyed those games. But for me, like, I like, as I age as a gamer, the more straightforward I like things. Mm-hmm. I don't really gravitate towards the simulation side of it as much. I like the fun factor.
Yeah.
So it seems like 2K22 really nailed that. I'm sure 2K23 will as well when it comes out in a couple months. Mm-hmm. But the AEW one, focusing on that really does seem to be the difference. I know, like, they showed the character models like a couple of years ago for the first time, and a few people clowned on them. I thought they looked awesome.
Some look really solid.
This
I think
silly. Like, I love it.
I'm totally up for just like playing as a bunch of action figures, ostensibly. Like, I own multiple AEW action figures, so like I'm totally fine with that. I think it's, for me, it's going to be in the animation, like how satisfying it is, and if it just feels intentional, if it feels like it's intentionally snappy and fast and stuff, as opposed to like that feels unfinished.
Yeah,
like they're directly connoting an era of wrestling games from like the early 2000s when a lot of animations were reused for like a 6-year period.
Yeah,
so it's going to be like, and some of them are in this as well. There's already like some stuff where people have compared like side by side to, because it's Yuke's or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of the original animations that they mocapped way back when are in their servers are now in AEW.
Oh boy!
So it's that's a potential pitfall as well.
What was the first wrestling game you boys ever played? What was the first one you played?
Oh my god!
The first SmackDown game.
Okay, nice,
the
good.
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. Might not be something like, oh my god, like one of the ones I had a WrestleMania 18 on Game Boy, I think.
Aye.
Something like that. But definitely the original SmackDown. SmackDown 2 is the one that I bought because SmackDown was at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And then grabbed that.
Here Comes the Pain was great as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
That little run was like, SmackDown, just bring it and Here Comes the Pain were brilliant.
Yeah, and Shoot Your Mouth as well. Because my first one, sorry, was WCW Mayhem. And Backstage Assault, one of the two. Because young me didn't know the difference between any of it. So I just was like,
wrestling game. And where's The Rock?
I just got it and didn't know who anyone was. Yeah. And it was like Chili Willy and stuff. And I was like, I don't know what any of this is.
The legend.
The legend.
Put some respect on Chili Willy.
And ECW Hardcore Revolution was in there somewhere as well. So yeah, old school PS1 wrestling.
Mine was, and this ages me a bit, was Royal Rumble on the Mega Drive.
Nice.
On
I'm
the
sure
Hamlet
is that era as well.
Aye, man. I'm not as old as him. Come on.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's that good. It goes across generations.
He remembers the First World War. I think it had like 8 playable characters. Obviously, it was a Genesis game, so it looked like it did.
Mm-hmm.
certainly not a classic. But after that, it was SmackDown 1, SmackDown 2. SmackDown 2 is probably my most played. They added so many cool things. Even things like being able to like powerbomb people out of the ring and stuff in Royal Rumbles and through the cell and all this. Mm-hmm. It just felt like a really big step forward from the first one. And then after that, that little run is just classic. Like I might go and buy some off eBay or something now. Like
on SmackDown 2, they had that multiplayer like or co-op campaign thing, story mode, where like you could enter it as two or three people and it would like generate different cards and stuff. And like they never really did anything else with that. Like if multiple people could start a story together and I choose to screw one of you over and that affects your storyline, like they've never really done that again. But like that would have been so cool.
I mean, used to play, I can't remember whether it's SmackDown versus Raw like 2007 or 2008.
When you could run JR over.
Yeah.
There was like a whole editor menu where you can just repeatedly run him over and over again.
But it was the GM mode.
Yes.
I used to love the GM modes and then they disappeared for ages.
It's in 2K22.
Yeah. So I was glad they brought that back. But it was like me and my mate just used to like get really drunk at uni and play the GM mode and then like try and outbuck each other. So we'd just be playing it for ages doing the GM mode against each other.
Considering how much money Football Manager makes, how is there not just a wrestling manager equivalent of that? Yeah.
So the closest thing would probably be something like Total Extreme Warfare, which is, so that stems from like, and here's where I out myself as the biggest dork of all time. It would stem from like really old Windows games like Promotion Wars. I don't know if you guys ever played
those.
Rings
a bell, but I don't think I played it.
But those were really, it was so simple. It was like this tiny little program that took up like 2 kilobytes or something. And it was, you run your own promotion and you book it and you book shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they increased in depth until EWR came out, which was the precursor to Total Extreme Warfare. It was Extreme Warfare Revenge. It was made by a guy named Adam Ryland.
Okay.
And I played the crap out of EWR. It was like the closest thing you would get to like Football Championship Manager
back
then. And it was like, people still play today because it's really easy to update with like modern scenarios and stuff. And it's like pretty surface level in terms of detail. Like once you figure out what makes a good main event, like you just did it over and over again.
Yeah. Right.
But it was a lot of fun. Like I would go in there and I'd sign all my little dorky Ring of Honor favorites and put them in the WWE main event. And then they wouldn't draw. And then they'd be like, oh, Murray's going to get fired as promoter. But it evolved into TEW, which is this really, like, it's much more in depth and like there's so much to it. Similar to Football Manager. For me personally, I played a TEW in recent years and I found it just a little bit too complex for my taste, but I'm quite an impatient person. I'm sure that level of depth and complexity is great for most. Like it probably scratches.
If that's like the only thing you play.
I think the comparison is probably FIFA versus Football Manager.
Right.
And I'm a Football Manager player, but I've been playing that for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So to go into TEW, it was like I have to learn all these new systems and like numbers and stuff. It was like, I'm old, I'm broken.
I still feel like I would get that. Like I would totally get like a wrestling manager
people
type thing.
People love it. People love it. And I think it does really well. Just because it wasn't for me doesn't mean it's not for everyone else. I always say stuff like that. So it's out there. It's just, I guess it's maybe just become a bit niche in these years. But yeah, no, man, EWR. If anyone listening to this podcast play EWR, let me know in the Twitter thread for this show. I love that game and gladly talk about it. Shall we do a...
I tell you what, you guys asked me what I thought of AEW. I didn't ask you. I was too busy rambling on about the old negativos. What do you guys think of the last couple of weeks of it?
It's crap.
It's crap. It's not as good as NXT Level Up. I've really been into AEW recently. I go through spells with it sometimes. Particularly in 2022, there was like a lot of highs and lows, obviously, revolving around Phil Brooks often. But no, I've been very happy with the past few weeks of TV. There's definitely a thing where some of my personal favorites aren't being featured as much as I'd like. Yeah. Like Eddie, he's a good example. Mm-hmm. The Butcher and the Blade, my guys. But at the same time, a lot of them are. Like I love House of Black so much.
Yes.
They could like literally turn into a witchcraft stable casting spells and I would still be into it because like I love all the dudes. Moxley's my guy. I've loved the Hangman feud. Yep. I think it feels so real and authentic. And you've had a bunch of other, like I'm really into the Danielson stuff. It's like, yes, you know he's not going to lose, but like the week-to-week stuff. So like this week he gets his shoulder busted up by Brian Cage in the post-match assault. So what does MJF do? He gets Timothy Thatcher, who's like a really scary technician,
right,
and is the perfect guy in storyline to like tear his shoulder apart. So like I lose myself in the stuff a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm still
Brian's
into
the
it.
Best for that as well, like the little details that he puts into stuff and the kind of he will force you to believe.
Yeah.
Like even if you think like MJF's gonna win, MJF's gonna be like at the end of the day, Brian will force you to even that's, like, question that's it slightly.
Yeah, I think that I love the thing that he's been doing. It kind of like he looks at this like sensei, like he's got this big beard, his hair's like back in a ponytail, and he's like, okay, like, how do I dismantle you, like per opponent? Like he has been someone where you quote unquote know he's gonna win, but those matches have
and
been
the matches
phenomenal.
Have been like so different each time. Takeshita and the
Takeshita one was so good.
The Bandido one was absolutely brilliant. The Brian Cage one again was a completely different kind of match, and then Timothy Thatcher is gonna be a very different kind of match over again next week. But then like it's like the promo this week when he was like backstage and injured, like knocking the doctor away, like that fire of Daniel Bryan, and it's like when he gets to that level, you're like, oh god, this is gonna be good. Like,
yeah, man. Yeah.
Because like, you guys told me about it was an injury he had a while ago where it was like he like duct taped his head up or something. He had like a big head wound.
Yes.
And it's like I want more of that version of him in the character.
After the Hangman, it was after the second Hangman match, wasn't it, when he did that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that visual.
Imagine just having that backstage as it. You just cut to him and he's just fixing his head.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Like taping his head so it doesn't fall off. Yeah. Like I love stuff like that. And I love guys like Hobbs. Like Hobbs is one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. I love Jamie Hayter. She's brilliant. She's going to have a good match with Emi Sakura tonight. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I really enjoy, and I've kind of reached the point where like I just kind of let the stuff I don't like kind of wash away, and I just go, oh, cool, Hobbs is on Elevation this week. I'm definitely watching that.
Yeah,
I'm going to see him kick some ass. It might only be a minute, but let's go.
That's one massive thing, actually, is that like I was always someone who was watching Dark and Elevation all of last year.
Oh, brother.
I know. Because like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm loving... Actually, it was last... Yeah, like the last year, I was like, oh, my God, I'm loving AEW so much. I want as much AEW as possible. So I was keeping up with all that stuff. And I remember, like, obviously, like, Sage and Hamplate and yourself being like, there's hardly anything on there kind of thing, which is totally fair. But I feel like recently, they really have made a point of, like Britt was on Dark recently, and, like, they've made a point of saying, like, people you care about are on Dark, are on Elevation, go watch those matches. Like, that's great. Like, just little freebies, like, during the week.
Yeah, it's a... I tell you what, though, like, 4 years into this AEW thing, it's nice to have two companies, mainstream level in America.
Yeah, 100%.
It's nice to kind of have... learn that there's not just one way of doing things at mainstream level. And I'm very thankful that it exists, even when some weeks I'm not so hot on it, some weeks I am. Variety's good. Mm-hmm. The spice of life.
That is what they say.
That is what they... say anyway, my friends, shall we do a
looking good quiz?
There he is.
Hey.
He's not here in the studio, but he's here on the soundboard.
Star of the new Dead Space.
There is.
I'm just saying, the guy they've got in to be in the remake of Dead Space, that guy looks just like Will Bourne.
I've never played Dead Space because I'm a little cowardly.
You should play Dead Space. It's so good.
Ah, it's a horror film, isn't it?
I know, it's pretty, but it's pretty.
Yeah, I jump at like Night in the Woods.
It's a spooky boy, but I'm just saying, if it rounds it out a little bit, makes it more palatable. Just know that the main man looks just like Wilborn. I'm telling the world.
Is there a demo? Do demos still exist?
Sometimes. Not because it's EA. No, there's no demo because they want you to pay the money to get it. But £70 as well. It's like ridiculous. Like a 16-year-old game.
Quiz?
Anyway, yes.
So, judging by everything you've just learned about Scott Tilbert and his wrestling fandom, he might be a little bit screwed for this quiz.
Hey, I'm
going to apologize right now.
Lampman.
Because you do really need to have seen last year's Royal Rumble.
Okay, I'll guess.
Quiz. So what we were saying about how terrible last year's Royal Rumble is, one of the worst things about it was how it'd go 3, 2, 1, and no one would have a goddamn clue who's coming out.
Right.
So I've not named it, the wrestling entrance pops, no one knows who the hell you are, so we'll just sit here in silence until a name comes up on the Tron quiz.
That was me when that Thatcher guy got announced in to fight Danielson.
Yeah.
So I've got a bunch. Got 10 different entrances from the Royal Rumbles last year, men and women's. I think everyone is still in WWE.
Okay.
It's
not always a guarantee.
Not always a guarantee. Some have different music now, which is probably for the better, judging by some of these pops. But you've got to tell me who it is, basically.
Okay,
my Royal Rumble entrance.
Good grief, okay.
Easy.
Wow, this is something else.
So you'll play this entrance music and we're going to play Okay.
So number one, who's terrible pop is this? Can't hear it. Hang on.
The end. Hold
on.
Technical meeting.
That's why.
Technical meeting on the air.
Up the thing.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's my fault. Oops. Sorry, boys.
All right.
Here we go.
Try again.
Okay. Here we go.
Kick right to the midsection by Shin.
Oh, big back elbow from Austin Theory.
And look who's here.
What?
Ooh. Who is this?
Ah.
It's a heavy man. Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus.
The crowd made no noise for that whatsoever.
Yep. Do we know what number it was?
I don't know which number
okay,
it
okay.
was.
Is
it was in the men's. I'll give you that.
I know how this guy's music goes, and it doesn't go like what you just played. I don't think. Was it Omas?
It was not Omas.
That's a good pick.
You want to find out who it was?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Kick right to the midsection by Shin.
Oh, big back elbow from Austin Theory.
And look who's here.
Ridge Holland.
Sheamus is Ridge Holland.
No one knows who you are.
Look who's here.
My God, bad at entrance music.
Just really bad. At least now he would have Sheamus's theme, wouldn't he?
This is true.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
So, 0-0. I will be amazed if this actually gets like more than two.
Yeah. Stars you mean to go on, I reckon.
Number two. Whose entrance pop goes a little like this?
Taking a moment to enjoy her handiwork, catch her breath. Who will it be next?
I'm going to go with Malachi.
Andy says Liv Morgan.
It is not Liv Morgan.
Oh, actually, that's a point. Are these all from the men's or the women's or a mix?
This one's from the women's. It's okay. Both. I'll play the full length one.
All right.
You've got another chance if you want to buzz in.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
A moment to enjoy like her hand. You will catch your breath. Mordecai. Who will it be next?
Oh.
We've had veterans. It's now time for the young buck, the upstart, the one with momentum on her side.
Andy, is it Aaliyah?
It is.
Hey.
Aaliyah.
I thought the sting.
The upstart, the one with momentum on her side.
She's been in WWE for 10 years. I thought the sting said it's all about me, and I was going to go. It's Tennille Dashwood. She wasn't working there.
Not that year.
Wow. Those music sucks.
You got one.
This is a great idea for a quiz because, like, the big conversation after last year's Rumble was, this music is bad.
Right.
God damn, bring back the CFOs. Bring back Jim Johnston. Bring back anyone who isn't whoever's doing the music right now.
I'm going to start an argument. I'm going to start an argument in the comment section. Yeah. AW's music better. It's like much better.
Oh, is there anything in WWE now?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as the CFOs.
See, that's a conversation worth having. Yeah. I was just doing a bit of easy bait there. But CFOs is good. Yeah.
All right. Who lives in an entrance pop like this?
On to the Royal Rumble match.
Andy, Lloyd Grossman.
I need to remember the editor. Say the name.
Okay.
Hey. His reaction there was okay.
Andy, is it Mustafa Ali?
It is not. Do you want to pick anyone from WWE and hazard a guess?
He was in dispute with the company, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Whoops.
What's that one? It's like dun, 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 dun.
That is Booker T.
Yeah.
Is it Booker T?
It is not Booker T. And the full entrance here. Shout out if you get it.
On to the Royal Rumble match.
Very charming. I like it.
Okay.
Well, here is a man who's out not only to win the Royal Rumble match tonight, Pat, but also to impress Mr. McMahon.
Oh,
many have called him Mr.
Austin Theory.
It is.
Hey.
Because his new music is so like. Like,
down.
It's the worst entrance theme of all time.
Yep.
That is
somehow worse.
Yeah. Rubbish.
Who's the fellow with no shoes on? I get a theory confused
Riddle.
With him.
Riddle.
Yeah.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's a bad egg.
Not an egg that I want.
No, I only like fresh ones. Okay.
Eggs? Whose pop is this? It's nothing to do with eggs.
Oh. Better be a baldy. No. Andy, it's Omos.
Yes. Yeah.
That was really close to that first one, to be fair.
I like it because the song says, look in my eyes, no fear. It's the big man time in the place right here. And we all know some big men in our lives. So I appreciate that.
Who are right here?
Do you want to hear the commentator's reaction
Let's
to
do
Omos?
It.
Are they going to get him out? For the first time, the man who used to be AJ Styles' personal colossus, the 7'3", 400-pound Omos.
Yeah. Who's better? Who's better, Omos or Satnam Singh?
Oh, wow. That will start arguments. Satnam Singh is so much fun. Omos is... Both of them are quite crap. Satnam Singh's better.
Yeah,
I've no triple idea. Threat with them and Great Khali.
I was just Great Khali.
I was thinking of big tall people who arrived, and everyone went, "Who's this person?"
I like Satnam Singh. I like Omos as well. Don't get me wrong. Like I like giants, but they are. I guess they are by definition a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
But Satnam's more fun. Like last week when he was stood in the corner, like
that was great.
Yeah, just standing there preventing Danhausen. Yeah. Also, he's gonna kill Danhausen on Rampage tonight. So that'll be fun. I love Danhausen too.
What's there's that big Bill fellow? Just big guys.
Big
now,
Bill. Big yeah. Bill.
I was like, why'd you call him Big Bill?
Because he's big and his name's Bill.
I suppose so. But it's not. It just feels a bit naff. Big Bill.
He was Big Cass in WWE.
That, yeah. Even that's got a bit more oomph to it.
Yeah.
Bill. I'm not going to be scared of Bill. He's coming at you.
He's ripped for it.
Large William. Yeah, he's doing really well. Yeah.
Absolutely shredded.
Mm-hmm.
Bumpy took for
him. He reminds me of like, he looks a bit like sort of like mutated Edge. Like if like Edge had taken like the Titan formula from Arkham or something.
Edge has cheated his way to a good body. That's what it looks like. Edge has a good body, but you know, I'm 35 and I don't have anywhere near as nice a body as Edge. So,
Hey, but you can spear like nobody's business.
Edge does have a little pinner for us, as we've been through several times on this place. Right, anyway.
Speaking of little pinners, question 5. Nothing to do with little pinners.
So you get an elimination before we have a new competitor. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. I don't agree with this at all.
From the women's, if that helps, it probably doesn't.
The commentators are just like every enemy.
It sounds like that. Let's buy some time until we figure out who this is.
The name hasn't appeared on the screen. I don't know. Andy, Xia Li.
No.
I don't know.
I have no idea. The noise at the start reminded me of the noise at the start of what I then realized was Brock Lesnar's music, so it's not him. Like that.
No, he actually got a pop.
Yeah,
that thing.
It's the only recognizable one.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Can I hear the full length?
Yeah, go on.
Yes.
So you get an elimination before we have a new competitor. Doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I don't agree with this at all.
Why, Saxton? What's wrong with us?
So, you know, Corey, Sonya Deville is a WWE official, okay?
You just said the name. Sonya Deville.
Oh, is it?
But of course.
She used to have a much better theme.
Yeah.
Bring back CFOs.
They really ruined everyone's music during that pandemic period.
Yeah.
What's CFOs?
CFOs is the music production team that WWE kind of brought in the 2010s.
Theme.
Oh, yeah. I love Shinsuke's theme.
Bunch of them. Like
Finn Balor's like original one.
Yeah.
Nice.
They did some real good.
Really good themes. Cool. They got a bit of stick for like, because a lot of their themes are like a 1 minute loop. Yeah. But like, I thought they were all really good, so who cares?
Really good 1 minute loop.
Good wrestling music kicks ass.
Yeah.
Kicks ass.
Jimmy Hayter's theme.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal.
It's like a rave.
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Riho's is the best AEW theme.
Riho's is good. I like Yuka Sakazaki's when she comes over because she uses her Tokyo Joshi Pro theme and it's mental. There's some really good ones. Like Sting. I think Sting's
is
like
great.
One of the best.
Darby's
ever.
Is fun.
Yeah, I like Darby.
Starks' one's kind of grown on me. Didn't used to be that one.
Ba-dum-ba-dum. Moxley, obviously.
Moxley's, well, I get a bit sick of Moxley's because his entrance takes like most of my life. Yeah.
Like a lot of people like Roman Reigns. This one, I find it a bit synthetic, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
The Gunfers is awesome. I love that. Yeah. I love that. But yeah, entrance themes are good.
Not these ones, though.
Not these ones, brother!
7, going into the Royal Rumble. Who the hell are you, Quiz?
On the way.
Rikishi.
It's good, but it's not the
Damn
one.
Damn it!
It is the men's.
Val Venus. Hello, ladies.
You want the full length?
On the way.
The guy from the Bible Center.
Happy Corbin's got some backup.
Wow. Ridiculous.
That's going to bring a smile to Happy's face.
Sorry, Madcap. God.
Madcap.
What a
they
beast
really
was.
Did people dirty with these things, didn't they?
This year, at least some people have got some cool themes now.
Yeah.
Like, that's something at least. Mm. And if they haven't got an individual cool theme, they might be in a stable with someone who does.
Yeah.
So
it's four, right?
Yeah.
Is the Rumble on Saturday night? Is it two nights?
Yeah, one night.
Right, cool.
It's good the way they've laid out. There's two Royal Rumbles and then just three other matches.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's cool.
Don't add anything.
talking of not adding anything. We have question number 8.
Yeah, we got a fresh competitor coming in to change the game. Who might it be? Speaking of athletes.
Ooh,
wow.
In a way sounded like an Eastern kind of flute, but I have no frame of reference who that even could be.
It is nothing Eastern. I will
Damn
give
it,
that.
Is it all? It could be a train, some sort of fog, steam-based implement.
Steam-based.
Steam Jeff.
A tugboat.
Brandon Steam.
Tugboat.
Steam Lamp. Tugboat.
Stone Cold Steam Austin.
Tommy Steamer.
Tommy Steamer.
Mean Steam Oakley.
Who's kind of pushed based on their athleticism? Apart from like Bianca or something like that. Dana Brooke.
Oh, let's find out.
We got a fresh competitor coming in to change the game. Who might it be? Speaking of athletes, speaking of people with strength, with confidence and momentum, how about the 24/7 champion, Dana Brooke?
Yes.
He's on it.
That was a pure guess. Pure guess. Poor Dana. I feel really bad for Dana Brooke. She works so hard.
She works really hard.
And she loves this so much.
Yeah.
And they just don't
never
do anything.
Her anything.
With her.
Never given
that
her
sucks.
Anything.
Oh, poor, poor person.
I don't know who any of these people are.
Question number 9.
Yeah. You're all right.
We're going to find out in 5 seconds who's next. What do you like saying, Corey?
They all just give me Luchasaurus. You know Luchasaurus is new music.
Again.
Yeah.
Like his like, I'm not Kane, but I'm doing Kane-style music stuff. It reminded me of that.
Anti-pops, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whiz.
In the women's.
Okay. Tamina.
Oh!
There's nobody meaner.
Ain't nobody meaner.
We're going to find out.
There we go. Hear it again.
What do you like saying, Corey? No one meaner? Ain't nobody meaner.
It's Tamina.
Oh, there you go.
Ain't nobody meaner than Tamina. That's really good. That's really good. Because that Gorillaz of Destiny song is great. So, but then Tamina, not so much. Not so much.
Final question. I have no idea what the score is because I have not been keeping count.
3-0.
The score is 0 to last year's Royal Rumble. And everything to us.
Jim Johnson wins.
Let's see. If you can guess the final one.
You got height on that.
Every man for himself in the Royal Rumble match.
I am Iron Man. Rick Boogs.
It is not.
Oh, bummer.
Was Boogs that guy you guys danced through the office once singing that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boogen. Oh, yeah, Boogs. Boogenhagen.
Boogenhagen.
Yeah.
Schmegen.
I will say that he is in the judgment day.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Damian Priest? No.
You got height on that.
Every man for himself in the Royal Rumble match. And here comes the current United States champion. In his second Rumble appearance, this is Damian Priest.
Started like Iron Man, then when
so
it went
so bad. Music.
That is
thank
like a
God he got to the Judgment Day.
Like a royalty-free attempt at doing the Sabbath thing.
Yeah. Boom. Tommy
so
Lobby.
This is the quiz that proves why entrance music is important in the world of wrestling.
It is. It is.
Wow, what a quiz. That was sensational.
Let us know how you did on Twitter or something.
And hopefully this year's Rumble gives us something as funny that we can build next year's quiz on.
Hopefully.
Because that was sensational stuff. All right, thanks for joining us on this ragtag bunch of rogues edition of... of wrestle culture.
Three men in a kayak in a storm of podcasts. Getting by.
Perfect storm, if you will. enjoy the Rumble, first and foremost. I think it's going to be a really fun show.
Join us on the live stream, midnight yes. UK time on Saturday or 7 p.m. Eastern. Me and Will Bourne will be watching the entire Royal Rumble, so come and watch it with us.
Prizes
to be won.
They're good Whole prizes. Lot of fun. It's not just the usual pish we send you. They're good prizes. Sometimes
hey,
it's
our
like,
pish is good.
Hey, we got a spare Cody t-shirt from 2016. We've got this piece of paper that Joe Hendry once sat on. We got a pen that brushed by Martin Kirby. I'm
running out of in a room with the Young Bucks once.
We legitimately have all of these things, like lore from WCPW.
Yeah, we got some weird stuff.
Does anyone want the ring? What, we don't have that. Do we have that?
I don't. Yeah, we're still got
pieces of it. Oh, we should set it up. Have a rumble. Yeah. Hey, boys.
Oh, do our own rumble.
Invite some of the cheeky scamps that run around the part of the world that we live in.
Inside. Get Joe Hendry back in. He's doing very well right now.
He is. You see his video about Brian Myers and
Edge's bitch.
And, I keep seeing his after I saw the one when it's like his dad in the hospital or whatever it was when he did that thing. Yeah, incredible.
And he's smiling, popping his head out.
Shout out to Joe Hendry.
The Cardona and Myers one is really funny. So like for context, if you watch it, Cardona and Myers are like the two guys who used to be in WWE, but their thing away from wrestling is like they're really into like collecting wrestling toys and stuff and action figures and all that stuff. And they've got like a really successful wrestling figures podcast. I think it's called the
Major Brothers Wrestling,
something like that.
Major Wrestling Figures.
It's easy to find. And Matt has been really funny anytime he's been on our channel.
Matt's great.
But if you watch it, oh my God, Joe Hendry kills them. It's unbelievable. Yeah, okay. Where are we? What does he do
now? We're ending the podcast.
We're ending
it. Yes.
Right. See you later. No, you can follow us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Phil on Twitter at
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Scott.
I'm at /LP89.
And go subscribe to What Culture Gaming.
Yes, please do. Yeah. Get the podcast and all that stuff.
All of that. We should do more of this, shouldn't we?
If you'll have me on, I will always cross-brand. Blab in your direction. Yes.
Let's do it, baby. You can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Habanero, I guess. that's the first word that popped ahead. Bye.
See ya.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.